Higgins.
Hello and welcome to Czech Books. Czech history features many brave, pioneering women such as the author Božena Němcová or the politician Milada Horáková, but Czech society today is still very far from offering equality of opportunity. I met with Eva Kalivodová to discuss the work she does in the field of gender and culture. Eva teaches literature at Charles University, is a scholar of gender issues, and edits a bilingual literary and cultural journal focusing on gender in the Czech context, One Eye Open, or Jedním okem. I started by asking Eva if she thought the situation had improved for women 20 years after the end of communism.
I think that the situation has not changed much and that it's not very good. It's a problem of a society that hasn't experienced any second wave of feminism, any other wave of feminism yet. And actually, I think that really not satisfying position of women in political situation or women in this country is a combination of still a sort of backlash against the communist state-run and proclaimed equality of men and women that was very ideological and, of course, fake, but at the same time, this backlash is combined with a sort of indoctrinated notion that actually there is not any major problem between men and women in this country.
It's rather sad there are such conservative ideas about the roles of men and women still, because the first president of Czechoslovakia, Masaryk, was very enlightened in terms of ideas about gender, certainly compared with modern Czech politicians. Was he very exceptional in having this idea that men and women should share duties equally in the home and in politics?
He was exceptional and he was not. He was exceptional because he was such an able politician and successful politician who established the independent Czech state and became its first president. But he was still a part of the great tradition of Czech women's movement or of the Czech national movement of the 19th century, in which the Czech women's movement played an important part. And there were quite a few coalitions of men and women throughout the 19th century in which men help the advancement of women in society. And I think that Masaryk inherited this attitude to a degree. Another influence on his thought was his Protestant religious belief that was very strong. And I think that his democratic principles were inspired by his religious principles, which were also very much influenced and invigorated by his American wife, Charlotte Garrigue Masaryk, who, of course, was also a Protestant, but also a feminist reader of John Stuart Mill, and not only a reader, a woman who translated his Subjection of Women into Czech at the beginning of the 20th century, and who became an important figure of the Czech women's movement at the beginning of the century. So Masaryk, as a politician, was exceptional in that sense that he accepted this influence of his wife and processed that in his policies, unlike today's politicians, actually.
You have been involved in many ventures, and one of the most interesting has been your involvement since the early 90s with the publication of a journal which doesn't appear regularly. You've called it an unperiodical periodical, and I found it a fascinating source of very important views and historical perspectives, often forgotten voices, marginalized voices. Could you tell me a little about the journal, which is called One Eye Open or Jedním oknem?
The journal, as you have said, is unperiodical, periodical, and I like to think of it as a sort of underground activity, because it's definitely not a journal that would make profit. But it started in the early 1990s in a situation of a sort of clash between Czech women who began to be interested in gender issues and the so-called Western feminists who wanted to enlighten them. And the Czech women were intrigued, but rather suspicious of the ideological points of this kind of Western thought. But on the other hand, this Western thought, these Western women, were ridiculed by the Czech mainstream media. So the journal actually opened as a space for a sort of dialogue between the East and the West on men and women. But then it evolved to where it's more focused on Czech society. However, it has remained a bilingual journal and also a journal open open to non-Czech views of Czech society.
Some of the most interesting projects that you've featured have been concerned with history. Particularly, there was a two-volume edition on gender and historical memory. There was one piece in this I found very moving, and I'll read a short extract from this very personal reflection by the academic Marcy Shaw on the trial of Milada Horáková. After your death, no one spoke of you for nearly 40 years. Oh, in 1968, when faith was being decomposed and reinvented, and there were still some who remembered the past, or who at least had rediscovered it, dust from the fossils of Masaryk's humanism floated into Prague. Once again, people danced in the streets like they did on the day after your execution. A young Stalinist wrote about this when he was a young Stalinist no longer. And knowing full well that the day before, in their fair city, one woman and one surrealist had been hanged by the neck, the young Czechs went on dancing and dancing, and they danced all the more frantically because the dance was the manifestation of their innocence, the purity that shone forth brilliantly against the black villainy of the two public enemies who betrayed the people and its hopes. When the dancing began again in 1968, your family asked again for your letters. They were refused. Then came the Russian tanks, and there was no appeal. Time stopped again for another 20 years. Then the revolution came. No one believed it would, but it did. And when they repainted the street signs, as they do every time the revolution comes, they named one street after you. It's a big street, one of the largest and busiest in Prague, and quite close to the castle. Ulice Milady Horákové.
I think that Horáková in the 20th century is really a major figure, signifying, in fact, the end of the tradition of Czech women's movement that started to develop already in the first half of the 19th century. With Horáková, this tradition ended, was destroyed, interrupted brutally by the communist regime. Also, it's true that Milada Horáková is a very strong presence now in the public discussion in this country. There are films, documentaries shown on TV, and the papers discuss the show trial. However, it seems to me that all this interest and attention doesn't actually show the real importance of Milada Horáková for Czech society. She was a feminist, and in that sense that she became a very determined public woman lawyer who worked very diligently and hard for a long time on a new family law that would secure more rights to women, more social assistance to women in need. This is not mentioned at all in the media. And also the paradox that in the same year she was hanged, the communists passed the family law that she prepared is not mentioned either. I think that the great task for people who are interested in society at large is to become more gender sensitive and to give more prominence to voices of women, but also analyses of history that are gender sensitive and that show that history is the history of two genders.
There's one very interesting article I liked from your journal, which was an interview with the great underground poet Věra Jarosová, who was very much involved in the whole of this very important cultural movement. And for me, it was the first time that I'd ever understood the history of this time from a fuller perspective, because otherwise it was very much the story of the men, the rock stars.
This is really a very interesting and I think very crucial interview, one of very few that shed light on the dissident scene. However, it seems to me that also what this interview shows is a sad reality of the reiteration of paternalistic and maybe even macho patterns in culture, even in underground communities. On one hand, what happened in this community was quite charming because it was a community of men doing music, women bearing children and taking care of not only of family units but of the whole community. However, it's also quite clear from the interview that women really were not encouraged to take a creative part in what the dissident movement did in music or in arts.
I'll just now read a short extract from this very interesting interview. Mm-hmm. I've always disliked the oppressiveness of the family unit, so I considered the whole underground circle pleasant and communicative. However, in the 1970s, the political repression became progressively worse, and one by one people with children emigrated. They were the more responsible, realistic and practical people who realized that they could hardly do anything at all here, so they left. After that, the underground started to become a bit too wild for me and lost the connection with children, since my friends with children left the country. The ones who stayed didn't live a particularly family-oriented life. I think that the end of the underground in the 1990s was like the last part of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and women no longer had to participate, or they could not participate. Children were no longer taken to concerts, for instance, whereas during the 1970s and 1980s many young people took their children to concerts, especially out in the country. Of course, at that time we were living as if we were in a war and parents always took their children with them. Children weren't left at home alone, because there they would not be protected against STB, secret police officers. I remember when I was a child, my parents would take me to the cinema with them, because children weren't left at home alone in case there was a bomb raid during the war. So we did the same thing. We took our children everywhere with us, so they were never left anywhere alone. But all this has changed, of course. The Czech Republic recently passed its equal opportunities legislation very belatedly as the last country in the European Union to do so. I wonder if you're optimistic about future developments, or if you think that maybe the younger generation of women can take inspiration from this fantastic tradition of huge personalities, incredibly creative women who were essential parts of the creation of the country.
Well, I can only say that I hope so. I think that there are some signs that young women are trying to reconnect to the tradition of great Czech women's efforts in the 19th century, in the 20th century. I think that what is really important is to try to introduce gender perspectives in public consciousness, and also, of course, in education. In the most recent issue, one I opened is dedicated to Božena Němcová, and especially to a students' conference on Božena Němcová that was held in 2005.
Could you just explain something about the importance of Božena Němcová?
Well, Božena Němcová was the founder of modern Czech fiction in the mid-19th century, and she was also a very original personage, very independent woman in thought and in life. And I think for Czech gender history, she is the starting point, but not only the starting point, but she's omnipresent, because she really, in her independence, in her breaking various patterns of gender expectations, in her courage and in her creative achievements, she's still here with us and she's still a role model. And I think it's crucial for Czech gender history to always return to her. And it's great when you see that a Czech doctoral student from London University comes to Česká Skalice, which is Němcová's birthplace, and gives a paper that compares Němcová's masterpiece, The Grandmother, with a novel by a young Czech woman writer, Petra Hulová, and reveals relations between the two works that are simply interesting for general reflections of women's lives.
Thank you very much, Eva. And I'm glad to say that any interested listeners would be able to buy copies of One Eye Open by connecting with a link I'll give on the webpage. This is cosmos.cz. So it would be possible to read some of these wonderful interviews and oral histories and Czech history with both eyes open. So thank you very much, Eva.
Thank you for inviting me to this interview.